Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in-store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Becca Tobin, Kelty Knight, and Jack Vanek. Thanks so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thank you for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you for free every week.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang. We have a very exciting show for you, but before we get into it, I'm going to do a little introduction for those of you who have not listened before. I have Kelty Knight across from me, Emmy nominated.
Loser.
She's been nominated twice. She's lost twice, but she is Hollywood.
Can I add something to this?
Sure.
Instagram aficionado.
Oh, Instagram aficionado.
Self-proclaimed.
And her favorite activity involves cleaning out her closet while listening to the Backstreet Boys. And to my right,
that's a good one.
Jack Vanek. She is the creator, owner, boss lady, CEO of Jack Vanek Clothing. And she's so famous, she has a sandwich named after her. That's right.
It was at my friend's sandwich shop.
What's the name of the sandwich shop?
Jack Attack. I know the sandwich is Jack Attack.
And I am Becca Tobin, actress, unemployed actress. I can't help myself. I always say unemployed actress, and that's the damn truth. And I am
have great eyebrows.
You do have good eyebrows.
Half Jewish, and I'm lactose intolerant. And I just want to say, Kelty wants me to beg you guys to go follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
And I really, really want you to also, because Jack does a kick-ass job with it, and you don't want to miss out on fun things. We are the funnest group of gals in Hollywood, and if you haven't subscribed on iTunes to this podcast, what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Go over to theladygame.com, check out our website, browse, get to know us, look at our cute pictures, but definitely go to Instagram and follow us at theladygang, because we just need you to do that.
We want validation in life.
And when you listen, go on iTunes, give us 5 stars, tell us we're cute, give us good comments, anything else?
Nope.
That's it.
All right. So who wants to lead us into Good Week, Bad Week? Kelty?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Let me start with my good week. So when the Lady Gang was at Coachella, we went to the Revolve party, which
was
now,
the bomb,
which was
way.
Awesome. And now Revolve is carrying Jack Vanek stuff. So that's a good week for you. But anyway, there was this company called Lock, Stock, and Barrel there, and they were hand monogramming with red felt these bandanas for everyone. And we got Lady Gang ones made, and we look so cute on Instagram, and I got like 1,200 likes. It's a big deal. Anyway, then 2 weeks later, Becca came to this podcast the week that we filmed with Sophia from Nasty Gal, wearing high-waisted black pants, a white t-shirt, and jeans, and a jean jacket that had her name in the same writing as the Lady Gang things, and it said Becca in blue writing. And I thought, oh my God, Becca Tobin is so cool. I really want the jacket. So then I low-key texted Becca, and I was like, yo, I don't want to be crazy, but like, where'd you get that jacket with your name on it? Because I love it so much. And she goes, oh,
it was gifted to me by Ann Taylor.
And I went on the Ann Taylor website. They don't make this, so it's something super special from people that are on the B-list.
That's such a
in Hollywood
random thing to be Ann Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
it's so cute. It's like my favorite jacket ever. Interesting.
So then I went in my own closet and I thought, voila! I have my own denim jacket that actually fits me cute from Madewell. And I was like, I wonder if I could take it to Lock, Stock, and Barrel and get.
Don't tell our listeners where you did it because I just had a great idea. We should do denim jackets for merch and write Lady Gang in our
okay.
fun writing.
It's okay. Nobody's so gonna, no one I knows mean, what that is. But anyway, I took it to this company that was a secret. And they put my name on my jacket in red. It says Kelty. You can see it on my Instagram. I've never felt better. And then today, when I was getting ready to come here, I've been having a hard week, feeling not great about myself. I put on my high-waisted jeans, bought jeans, oh a white God. T-shirt. I even popped the collar.
Single white.
Yeah. Like Becca.
Single white female.
And I want to tell you, like, I swear jacked your style and I'm cooler for it.
You know what? I like it's flattering. I'm not the kind of girl that ever cares when people copy me.
I don't
but think I like getting
care
I like getting 15. Credit. You know what I mean?
Credit is due.
Yeah. Like I love telling people when I copy them.
Here's my bad week. Hashtag it's just my face.
Oh God.
So I'm doing a wardrobe fitting and the head of wardrobe comes in my room and she goes, she's someone that's sort of in my inner circle and knows when I'm struggling with like weight or not feeling great or feeling like puffy or whatever because she has to try dresses on me all the time. And so she goes, how are you feeling? And I said, oh yeah, I'm feeling okay. And she goes, you know, you really shouldn't put all those fillers in your face because I found out you can have allergic reactions to them. And I looked at her and I said, I don't put fillers in my face. And in my head, I was thinking, hashtag, it's just my face. And she
why
goes,
does this always
she goes, you
to
don't? And I said, no. And she goes, I'm sorry. You know, I just, my doctor told me that, you know, when people get their under eyes done or they get their cheeks done, it can cause an allergic reaction, which can like really mess you up on the inside.
It's just her face.
It's
guys.
Just my face. So
get off me, bro.
Just telling everyone happens all the time. Just my face. And then I had to look in the mirror and I was like, first of all, I have adult acne. And if I was going to inject anything into my face, it would be cortisone to get rid of these damn zits on my chin.
Also, this is my public service announcement for everybody. Okay. Filler and Botox are two very different things.
Yeah, wait, was she 100%. About Botox
no,
or
she
filler?
Was saying filler.
Okay. Oh, okay. So Botox, we're actually having a doctor come on.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about all of this, but just to clear it up, Botox is like the gateway to all the other things.
Yeah.
But the filler is a much more extreme thing to do to your face.
Well, and the filler actually makes physical
changes. It changes your face.
Where Botox just makes you not wrinkly.
It preserves us.
Yes.
So you need to set the record straight with her and be like,
also,
the only needle going in my face is Botox and I am not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed of my Botox at all. I also have been using Retin-A for 10 years. So everyone's always like, why is your skin so smooth? Well, because I've been using Retin-A and I haven't gone in the sun. Also, we've talked about this. I just stop. Listen, if you're at a Boozy Mimosa brunch and we're all offering up what we've done to our face, that's an appropriate time to ask people about their fillers.
No, that's what I was gonna
don't just
say.
Bring it up.
That's so rude.
It's Hollywood, though. People don't know anymore what's like tacky and what's not.
Slap a bitch,
my cheeks are puffy.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, you have good cheekbones.
Thanks, Jack. You're my only friend.
You're welcome.
You and Beck in her jean jacket.
I'm going to make you feel better right now.
Okay.
So my bad week is so bad.
Okay. Oh, God.
I live in a really cute part of town where there's a street. I'm not going to say it because I think that's kind of weird.
Stalkers.
I love your apartment, by the way.
Thanks.
So cute.
And you walk around. It's like a very like foot traffic-y kind of place. But it's a lot of young families. And there's no like Ivy restaurant that there's paparazzi, blah, 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 whatever. So I've lived here for several years in this neighborhood, whatever. And I've never seen a paparazzi, like never, maybe once when, you know, like maybe once in a blue moon. So I'm walking around this area where I do all my errands, all of them. And you know what we look like when we're running errands.
Cute.
Balls.
Not cute.
I look like trash.
I look like garbage on garbage.
Yeah.
So I am doing these errands and all of a sudden I'm walking my dog. I'm holding a green juice. And there's this woman, just random woman, and has a giant camera, and she starts taking pictures of me.
What? You're so famous. This is my dream.
No, but, like, it's so odd. It's, like, the weirdest paparazzi encounter because she
like
kind
she
of like looks like, you know, not a paparazzi. Usually the paparazzi are, like, men, and they're, like, you know, urban, like, backwards hats and, like, sneakers, and they're hip. She's, like, mom middle-ish. Jeans, tennis shoes, you know. So I was like, is that a paparazzi? Is that a tourist, like, coming and, like, trying to... And she's like, that girl has a little white dog. Maybe she's famous.
Paris Hilton? Is that you?
So anyways, she takes these photos, and I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to see these photos. Because even if paparazzi takes your photos, someone still has to buy those photos for them to see the light of day.
Yeah.
And my photos are not worth anything. So it's like, I don't see anything unless I'm with someone more famous. So I'm not worried about it, whatever. A couple days later, I get tagged in photos of me on this street looking at the camera like so confused. But here's the worst.
Wait, what was it on?
I don't know, because it just gets, like, people just tweeted them to me.
Oh, so they're somewhere.
They're somewhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere important, I'm sure. But I get these, and I am wearing what I thought up until this moment were, like, my cute, like, high-waisted boyfriend momish jeans. You know how those are in right
now?
Yes. Those, like, hipster.
Show me the picture right now.
We're gonna put it on Instagram.
They don't photograph well.
And I also found out they just don't look good at all. Like, at all. And my boyfriend, after showing him this photo, or my fiance, oops, he is, like, always so nice to me when I'm like, look how ugly I look in this. He'll always be like, you do not look ugly. You're being crazy. You look beautiful. And this one, he, like, died laughing. And he's like, oh my God, can we burn those jeans yet? I can never wear them again. And they were expensive. I got them in Sweden. I was so proud of myself for having Scandinavian fashion. They did me dirty. Yeah. When you see these photos, it is awful. We're going to put them up on Instagram.
Can I see it, please? No.
Yeah, I'll pull it
But
up.
I think it's exciting that you got paparazzi'd.
I don't think it is.
Did they want your ring?
It's kind
no
of,
one's seen your ring yet.
No, they've seen my ring.
It's so weird. Like, how did they know?
I think she just waits there, because there are a lot of, like, actors who live around this area, and they have families, so they bring their kids.
Yeah.
And but it's always been, like, a very safe place to like, do look like
garbage.
We're
going to judge the photos right now.
Oh,
she's just put out a ring for me to hold.
It's so amazing. It's so bad.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Here you go. I'm also wearing, like, the worst top ever.
God, can you invite me over the next time you're going to have paparazzi?
I don't know.
That's my dream.
That's not even a bad one. Here's the bad one.
That's not that bad.
Let me see. You guys, I'm going to let our listeners judge this. Don't be nice. Tell me
the truth. It looks like you have a penis.
It looks like I have a penis. It's so gross.
It looks
gross.
Like you
and
have a penis.
Oh, yeah, so
there's an eggplant emoji in that pant.
Like you have a bulge.
Or if you're wearing Depends, that's what it also looks
not
like.
Not to mention, like, my face just looks busted. Like,
yeah, but, like, oh my God.
Anyway.
I'm so proud of you, though. You're so famous.
I mean,
and we're friends. Yay.
So
okay,
famous.
So here's my good week. I may not have to be introducing myself as unemployed actress anymore.
Oh, yes. Snap.
This is a big one.
What did you get?
I got offered a job. But I can't talk about it because, you know, until contracts are signed, you're kind of screwed if you say you're going to jinx it or whatever.
Is your contract signed?
It's being worked on.
Okay.
Hollywood moves at a very slow moving pace. It's a slow burn. And so anyways, that's the thing. And I was, like, struggling with if I was going to share this or not, because it's such a, like, personal thing, your career and being an actor and having people never hire you. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, like, bullshit people. They write us in their questions about career struggles and, like, feeling whatever. So I was like, I'm going to let them into what's going on in my life. So, yeah, it's, like, a pretty good job.
Oh, but you can't say anything about it.
No, but, like, it doesn't really – I mean, it's just a job. Like, just
what
so
was
that
the
I don't...
feeling, though? Because we deal with so much rejection. So what does it feel like when you get the call?
Finally get one?
How much money?
Yep.
What do I have to do?
Yep.
How hard do I have to work?
Uh-huh.
Do I like who I'm working with?
Yep.
Do you have to show a boob?
Yeah, I don't have to be naked.
Oh.
I mean, it's not, it's actually, now when I get those calls, it's like I'm very business about it. Because it's like, I had my moment of being like, Glee, this is amazing. And like, it's like fireworks and unicorns. And then you like get into the business and you're like, oh my God, I'm just like trying to get a freaking paycheck.
Yeah.
So
congrats, Becca.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Okay, Jack.
I just want to hear about it.
Even more paparazzi in your future, I'm sure.
Right? Doubtful.
Maybe
take
I'll
me with
it. Take
us with
you.
I doubt it.
All Kelty wants.
That's all she wants.
Please. I'm going to New York in like 2 days and I'm definitely calling the paparazzi myself.
Oh
that's all.
Oh my God. Okay. So, anyways.
Shameless.
Desperado.
Yeah.
Thirsty.
I don't care. Hashtag thirsty. Hashtag it's just my face.
The best part is that when picture finally comes out, she's going to be like, "It happened. I called him. He showed up. I looked amazing. I went over and I picked the photos that I wanted him to use. It was just so
amazing. We had a night of it. We drank wine. And then you'll be like, I look so bad. And then the picture's amazing.
Yeah. That's the worst.
You freaking jerk. Okay. So my good week is our Facebook group has over 1,000 members in 1 week.
That's incredible.
1 week.
I'm pretty dope.
I couldn't figure out how to get on it.
Because you don't have a Facebook.
I have like what's it called?
A page? I don't.
Yeah.
Your page, you can't get in the page. I have to use my personal Facebook.
So do I. I try to get on my page too. It doesn't work.
I need to do a personal.
You need to be a real person.
Can I? You know what I'm going to do?
You need an alter ego.
I'm going to have an alter ego and none of you are going to know who it is.
Oh, and you're just going to be saying mean things about us.
Yes. You're going to say like our deepest, darkest secrets.
My name is going to be Virginia Slim.
My fake name is Sally Prescott when I was on Match.com.
Oh, what? Sally Prescott.
Sally Prescott.
Sassy.
Don't you want to date Sally Prescott? She's
no,
so fun.
No, not really. That's
she puts out.
She does put out.
Anyway,
it sounds like some, like,
Jack, thank you so much for making our Facebook group.
You're welcome. Yes. I think it's really cool. People are starting to talk about real stuff and have like their little struggles in there. And I think it's a good community to have. And I approved my mom into it today.
Oh, that's scary.
I went to look at the request. I was like, Mae Vanek, what?
That's great.
I'm like creeping on me for sure.
I feel like her mom is good times though.
She is. She's super fun. She's like an ultimate stalker. I'll tell her like so one thing and she'll be like, oh my God, I know everything about this person. I should be in the FBI.
Oh my God.
I'm
that's
like,
amazing.
You're a creep. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. And you guys can join if you aren't in it yet. We can get 2,000 members in a week. My bad week. Oh, my bad week's good. I got called out for face-tuning one of my pictures online because I made your boob bigger.
Mine?
And because I was making my arm smaller and it made your boob bigger.
Wait, how did they sure? They knew because my boob looked bigger.
So it was one
I
of
know
your,
it's my fault.
It was one of your fan pages. Because okay, the picture that we posted with Dorothy, I was like smushing my arm against my body and it looked
yeah,
huge.
Fat arm.
So I was like, okay, I'm gonna make it look like my normal arm looks, as you know.
Yeah.
So I don't have like this huge arm in the picture.
But then my boobs looked big
because I was next to you and you're in back of me. So I like pulled my arm in and it pulled your boob out.
Everybody.
So I'm like, everybody
gets
wins.
Helped out. Yeah.
And it was one of your fan pages, and she's like, "Ha ha!" At Jack for photoshopping the picture of her arm.
Oh. My fans know this bod really well.
They do. Well, and the problem was you two posted the original picture.
I know. I felt
you can't
so bad.
Do that. I even texted you guys both, and I was like, "I'm photoshopping this picture."
But you texted us after we posted it,
and I didn't see that. Mm. It was too far up in the stream.
Damn it!
I know, but. Yeah, I mean, I feel badly. I would have posted the fixed picture.
I would have too.
I need to look at this photo. If my boob looks really, it probably looks nice.
It looks pretty. It does. It looks nice and perky. I know. I was just trying to like help everybody.
But in general, bad weeks all around for like when you have fat arm in a picture, it's unavoidable and it comes out of nowhere.
It's really bad. I'm like, I can't have this on the internet. I'm gonna just stare at it forever. So I had to fix it, but then whatever.
It's like Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian. Are her abs real? Look at that tile in the background.
I know.
One of my favorite things, I was looking for face tuning in celebrities' photos.
It's so fun.
It's awesome.
Because people are so bad at it.
I was with friends this weekend, and there's a girl that we know who like literally airbrushes her face. It literally just, it's just eyes and
oh, she probably uses
lips.
The soften tool,
it's
so
crazy.
It makes your face look
and
like paper.
It's just gotten so out of hand that my friend wrote in the comment, he wrote, hashtag no filter.
Oh. Does she like skinify herself? Too.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like an alien. She doesn't even look like a person. I can't even see a nose on her face.
I just don't understand why people do it, because it's like we all know what you look like in real life. I just do it if my arm looks like out of proportion to what it usually does.
I don't know. I enjoy it, but also remember that one part where you could put eyeliner in your eyes? It was such a no-no. Do you remember that in Facetune when they would like add an eyliner? I was like, no, you guys, this is one step too far.
You could add the whole makeup, whole face.
Well, there we go, you guys.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the Lady Gang.
Oh, get ready, everyone, because this woman is a professional. She's one of the funniest ladies in town, crazy popular stand-up comedian, and you might remember her from Chelsea Lately, After Lately, like a zillion TV appearances. You might be a podcast fanatic and listening to one of the most popular weekly podcasts that exists, Juicy Scoop, which Becca Tobin's your number one fan, so watch out, Heather.
Have not missed an episode.
And since we are currently taking suggestions for the Lady Gang Book Club, we should probably also consider her New York Times best-selling book, You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again. Welcome to the podcast, Heather McDonald.
Hi.
How are you?
Ooh, is Is there pressure because you know what this is like to host an interview at podcasts?
Yes, but I've been enjoying doing the whole podcast thing so much, you know, and I'm always, if I'm free, I love going on other people's, and it's great. I think it's just been, a really surprisingly wonderful experience that I didn't expect. And then the response to my show has been like, I feel like that person that like gets the Oscar and is like, it was just a tiny film.
Yes.
We only worked for 23 days. We couldn't get the budget. I never imagined. And,
like, I didn't even know what I was doing.
It's so true. Happened.
Yes. And so it's like, yeah, so it's kind of, but anyway, so it's, but when you started to talk about that, you think you like my show, the Catholic thing has been just an overwhelming theme of people that have reached out, because I did this whole thing, Serial Sister, and it goes from episode 35 to like 50. And it's about my crazy sister, and I come from this big Irish Catholic family, and it's
amazing.
Yeah, and people go, oh, my situation isn't that bad, but I could totally relate. Or sometimes people are like, my sister's great, but I just like love the story. And Rosie O'Donnell started listening.
I heard that.
And tweeted me, and she's like, oh, my God, this is, you know. And then what's interesting is the thing I started this past week, which is a new thing, which is about like serial daters, when you date like this awful person. So my friend who I'm having dinner with tonight is, she started dating this guy. And anyway, the whole story evolves, and she found out he was dating three other women at the same time.
Oh. Wait, I think I heard this. Did you talk about it a little bit?
We talked a little bit about it, because I had Jen Alfin on. So it's like, yes. I'm like, I have to split this one up too. I didn't mean to like tease the people.
Part two?
But there is going to be a part two or three. I don't know. It's because I have all the girls come in, and there's so much to the story that, and now I'm getting really good feedback of other people's stories, and there's so many similarities, whether it's a serial, like I'll probably feature serial sister stories as well, other people's, and then like interview them after, and then also with this dating thing, it's just like there's signs of the type of guy that is this like sociopath.
Oh yeah.
I have an idea for what you should do.
Tell me.
You should To Catch a Predator style the guy, like,
yes,
set it up. Ooh. like a heist. Is that what it's
pretty
called?
Amazing.
How about a secret camera?
Yeah, you should be, what's his face, like to
Chris
Catch a Predator. After you get all these stories, and then you all confront him in some crazy way.
Well, on the podcast,
here's the thing: we didn't say his name, but we call him Fartard in the show. So what is? But I mean, my dream is that someone will be listening. Somebody will meet him, because he's going to hit on some like cute woman in the South Bay, or you know, Newport Beach or something. And she's going to like, all of a sudden it's going to click to her, like, why does this guy's story sort of sound familiar? Oh my God. I think that was from Heather McDonald's podcast.
God, yes.
That's my dream. I just want that to happen. And I want his like, because he's been just doing this and dating women and borrowing money from them and not paying his rent and being that kind of person, but that lives like a pretty nice white male, you know,
wait,
lifestyle
of
paddleboarding. He's like mid-40s.
Ew.
Gross.
Ew. Okay, speaking of heartbreak.
Yes.
Let's bring it back to you.
Yes. I thought we were just talking totally about me. Sorry.
no, just your work.
You've been in this biz for a minute.
Uh-huh.
What has been the heartbreak? Has there been a gig, a thing, something that went down that just broke your heart and you thought, ooh, I'm out of Hollywood. I'm moving to, you know, Santa.
Were you gonna say Cuba?
I was gonna say Cuba, but like Americans can't move to Cuba.
Yeah, I mean, to be totally honest, it was this past January when I did the podcast with Theo Vaughn, and when I did that podcast, I was really honest about my own insecurities working at a job in Hollywood, which was Chelsea Lately, and they took a small portion of it, like less than 30 seconds, gave it to TMZ. And then TMZ took a sentence from it, made it a headline.
Yep.
And what was really screwed about it is that they put it out there. And I guess they do this with big editorial magazines as well.
Yep.
But I had never had it happen to me. I had been on the side of making fun of it on Chelsea Lately. It was because this a-hole said this one line. And this time I was the a-hole, because the one line was like, I was scared every day working at Chelsea Lately, meaning I was scared like I'd lose my job. I was, because I'm not that person that just has like balls of steel.
Yeah.
So it got interpreted like I was terrified of Chelsea Handler. Like right. It made it sound so lame. Here we'd gone on the road together. We'd done shows together. That wasn't at all the case. And if you listen to the whole podcast, you would see that I said complimentary things about her that I didn't. So the story came out Saturday. So I'm in Denver, Colorado doing stand-up. And I'm waiting in line to buy this coat. And someone's like, I start seeing these tweets and stuff. And I'm like, what is it? And my heart, just like my stomach, right. I was like dying. And my friend's sending it to me. And she's like, I go, just, I'm not even going to read the comments. I can't even remember what the comments are going to be. I didn't really know what to do. I think now I would have like immediately written a long explanation on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But since I had taped it literally 6 weeks ago, I was like, holy, what else did I say? I didn't really remember. I was like, oh my God. And so the story came out Saturday and the podcast wasn't available until Tuesday.
Oh, no. Wait, they pre-gave it out to tease it.
Oof. Yeah, and by that time, all these people that hated me and wrote these awful things, they didn't go and look up Theo Von and find the podcast. Like, it's over with.
No, they wouldn't.
And I just didn't know how to react to it. And I was so scared to do any interview after that I was like, I'll just explain on my own podcast.
What happened?
Didn't come out until that Thursday. So mm-hmm. for like 6 days.
You just living.
It was horrible. And then, you know, and then she said these things that weren't true, that I told stories about her in the tabloids when Howard Stern asked her about it. I don't know why to this day why she said that, but it wasn't true. And, you know, since it's died down. But at that time, I was like, if I had money, real money, I would just quit the business. Right. I was like, absolutely, this is the worst week of my life. Like, it was about 2 weeks of like the worst experience. And then it was like, the main thing was, you're ungrateful, you're lame, no one would know you or your chipmunk face without the show. I mean, it was just like, and I was like,
people get so crazy.
Yeah, it was really, but now, like 6 months later, I mean, I feel like everything happened that way because of that awful experience. Is why I literally like 2 weeks later, I had a guest cancel on the show and I do the show by myself, Juicy Scoop. And I go, you know what? I've had this story about my crazy sister that's pretty intense, where she's said awful lies about my husband and I and threatened to like ruin us. And I'm all, you know what? I'm going to get the story out first.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it from my perspective so that nobody can then later on, you know, who knows, sell some story or hear some awful thing. And I'm like, and it's the one thing in my life that I wasn't on it. Like, I didn't share. I didn't really share in my books about it. I didn't really joke about it in my stand-up. I didn't really. And it was all like surrounding, you know, the last couple of years of both my parents dying with this whole thing. And now it's like, now I feel like my audience really knows me.
On the flip side of that, what has been your ish moment in Hollywood? What is the moment where you thought, hot damn, I came here with a dream. I have done it. I am the shiz. I'm the
definitely ish. Taping my special that I did. It premiered August of 2014, but they play it all the time on Showtime and it's available on Netflix. And I think for any stand-up, that's always been like your dream. And I used to watch all the specials like in my 20s with my friends. And then there was a time where I didn't do stand-up for like 7 years in my 30s. I didn't do it until like about a year before Chelsea Lately. I just kind of wasn't doing it. I was like still auditioning and writing and like having babies. But I didn't really miss it because I never got to a level that I was like touring or anything. And then I started to do it again and I was like, okay, well, I don't think I'll ever have a special. Like I just don't do it enough to get this hour together. And so then to actually have it happen, I was like, wow, this is the moment that you dreamed about that mm-hmm. can happen. And, you know, yeah, that was really great. I mean, I hope to have another. I don't have plans to do another, but I think I definitely could.
Yeah.
And but just to know that I had the one was like really, that was totally the best.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Were you so nervous?
No, because it was being taped and I was doing it twice.
Oh, so the first is that how they do it? They do it twice?
Well, some people only do it once. Oh. I mean, it costs more to do it twice.
Yeah. Did you have different audiences?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I went much faster. I speak fast anyway. I've gotten better over the years. But so when I finished the first one, the director's like, that was really good, but you're like, you know, six or 7 minutes short. And I was like... I could do it again. And literally, we probably used 95% from the second one.
Thank God.
Like, because but even since I've taped it, like, I'm so much more, I get more and more relaxed with stand-up. Like, I thought that's the pinnacle. It'll never get better than that. And, like, I think my stand-up is totally better now than my special because more, it's like a type of, it's just something that you just consecutively get better at.
It's craft.
You know.
Are you surprised that Angelina Jolie doesn't have a publicist after what you went through with that one word of an interview going out to the headlines? Like, it always blows my mind that she doesn't have a publicist. Like, if you want to interview Angelina Jolie, you have to, like, literally write this email and it, like, goes to her.
Like Bill Murray.
Well, he doesn't have a publicist either?
I don't think so. I think that that makes perfect sense. If he's that famous, so too.
I mean,
it's like,
I've worked with publicists and they've all been really nice, but it's like, again, with what went down, like, my initial instinct was right.
Transitioning to a funner topic, please tell me everything about Kris Jenner, because I'm I know you're friends with her. I'm obsessed with her checker floor in her house.
Yes.
And I think she's the ultimate boss. Like, people are like, oh, my Kim, my favorite Kardashian Kim or Khloe, Kris.
Yeah.
100%. So, A, how did you become friends? And B, what is the advice she's given you in your life that you can pass along to us mere mortals?
Well, I became friends with her because it more than a decade ago.
Your sex tape leaked and she helped you the contract?
Yes.
I feel like that's how anybody becomes
friends
with her.
She booked your makeup artist for the sex tape?
No. I was friends with Jillian Barbary.
Oh, yeah.
And she was doing the one season only of Skating with Celebrities. Mm-hmm. And so we
went. Kris Jenner was on Skating with Celebrities?
No,
Jillian.
Bruce was. Bruce and Jill were.
Amazing.
With different stars, with different professional skaters.
I'll pull that out of the vault right now.
Yeah. And so we went to the tapings and, you know, I would see Kris and all the girls and they were just like chilling, eating candy and watching it. And then Kris was going to have like a viewing party and said, told Jillian she could invite her friends. So we go to this other house in Calabasas, which wasn't the one.
With the checker floor.
No, this was before her house with the white picket fence. This was this other house in Calabasas. And Kylie and Kendall were very little. And so then we just sort of became friends. And then, like, they had their baby store. And my kids were babies at the time. So I'd go to the store, you know. And then many years later, my best friend since I was in first grade started working with Kendall and Kylie. And so we're all kind of friends together, mm-hmm. you know. So it's like the girl nights and all that stuff. But then I think the advice that I got from her is just, you know, make lemonade out of lemons. And I think like this past year sort of proved.
Oh yeah.
Even though I don't think it was, not until just recently did I go, okay, everything did happen the way it was supposed to happen.
Very interesting though. I will say something I noticed about the Kardashians, they don't talk about other celebrities. Like when you interview them or you ask them, like they won't say, I love watching The Housewives or they will not fuel anything that's not within the circle. Mm-hmm. Like Kim will talk about Khloe will talk about Kendall, but they won't ever bring in a third party celebrity. I love this about them. I think
that is smart.
It's so smart.
Why give anybody else any more press?
Give it to your own. Keep it in the fam.
Yeah. You know, and that happened to me too when someone said, what do you think? You know, what do you think of Caitlyn Jenner? And I said, I think she looks great. I think people are being too hard on Kris.
Yeah.
Like when it first happened, it was like this way to attack Kris somehow. And I'm like, why is Kris being attacked? You know, and why? I don't get by celebrating Caitlyn somehow. You think. So then, of course, that thing came out and it was like BFF says it was, you know, Caitlyn's fault or something.
God.
I was like, you know, I remember when, like, you know, the whole thing came down with Kim getting divorced after the 72 days and they asked me because I went to the wedding and I said, I respect her. I'm like, I have friends that knew as they walked down the aisle it was wrong and they stayed 10 years. And I'm like, and she's 31 years old and she wants to have kids.
Yeah.
And she probably realized I'm not going to have kids with this guy. So I'm not going to stretch it. So if she would have stayed a year, people would have hated her less. Like, I'm like, I don't. So I say that. And then
woof, and then it's everywhere.
Then but you know, I think I'm saying, and I do. I never heard anything negative, but then I got a concern because I'm like, oh my God, I think they think the Kardashians think that I'm using our friendship to get my name in a magazine,
but people
and
are
I'm
asking
not.
You these questions.
Yeah, they're asking
You're
me,
not
and I'm
that.
Saying something positive, but at the same time, I'm like, it's probably just better not to comment on anything.
But then, if you don't comment, they'll take your non-comment as a comment,
right?
Well, then it's like, why?
And it's really hard because, especially when you have a friend that's in the limelight, that's going through something, they are not saying anything because they're hiding. They're in hide mode,
right? Yeah.
And the other person is probably being very boisterous, and you're trying to defend your person to be like, okay, I'll be the voice for you. No, she's great, or she's happy, or she's strong, and then you get raked for it. So it's like it's kind of a difficult thing.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
We want to have a little fun with you. We've prepared something based on your podcast.
Okay.
Because, of course, Heather's podcast is called Juicy Scoop, which you can listen to in the 1 hour a week you're not listening to Lady Gang.
Right.
And this is the Scoop or Poop quiz.
Okay.
So Scoop is Heather approved.
Okay.
Poop is can't do it. Okay. Don't want it. Like, think about the poop emoji.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Colored eyeliner, scoop or poop?
Poop. Like a blue eyeliner on the top
like
of
I'm
your
wearing
eye?
Right now.
No, but that's...
I'm just kidding.
No, you know what? You have a little... I think there's like a little bit of blue underneath or something, and I put brown underneath.
Yeah.
But I think when it's like a painted... light blue or a purple, like
iridescent.
A funky.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like people have a funky look, but it's not for me.
I agree. Poop.
I think on some people it works. Definitely not for me.
Poop.
Okay. Scoop or poop? Lindsay Lohan being sort of normal now. Scoop. I'm into it.
I met Lindsay a couple times, and I think she really would like to be normal. I don't know who she's going to end up with. Her and
she's got the billionaire.
Yeah, isn't she
engaged? Does she have a new billionaire?
She's engaged, right?
I think so.
Allegedly?
Well, like 2 years ago, she was kind of engaged to a different billionaire that had kids.
I mean, at least
where is she finding these billionaires?
At least she's listening to our advice.
I know, and I say just marry
we tell everyone to marry billionaires.
I agree.
Right?
Fuck it.
Like, working is way hard.
Kind of Erica Jane, oh shit. My God.
Go for it. Like, come on.
I live for her.
But you know what? I don't think she's ever going to come back and be...
normal.
Who she was, because we got Emma Stone. Once we got Emma Stone, we're like, why are we chasing this redhead anymore? Like, honestly.
Damn.
So... so I just kind of think, like, you know, and I honestly think she became a star because she was that kid that had a deep, raspy voice. You ever notice so many actresses, if they have a deep
Scarlett
enough
Johansson.
Voice, work.
Yeah.
It's about their voice.
It
it's
is.
Not even really their acting. It's like a scratchy voice. Or like
it's so
Angie
sexy.
Harmon is like a model, but she can play you know, a tough cop.
CIA.
She has a deep voice. She's like, hey, you know what?
Becca, you should try
Hey,
that.
Asshole. Get in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, like, why is that? Like, why is it just because you have a deep voice
Jennifer
you can be
Aniston
a lesbian?
Definitely doesn't have the voice going for her.
I like Jennifer Aniston's voice.
She's a good voice.
But it's not like a soothing, like a, you know?
She's never going to be a cop, Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. I think she maybe was a cop one time.
She was never a cop.
Really?
I don't think she can
The
be
best
a
Jennifer Aniston is Marley and Me, Jennifer Aniston. Okay, let's get back to the quiz. Here we go. Scoop or poop? Wedge sneakers.
Ew.
For me, they're poop because I'm tall. But for little people, not like little, like...
like Becca Tobin.
Yeah, like a little person, it does look kind of cute. Like when Kyle Richards wears it to a sporting event because she's so little and she needs a heel, but she doesn't want to wear a heel. I totally get that there's a market for it. So I'm going to say scoop. It's just not for me.
Okay.
Because I'm tall.
I'm going to say poop.
Okay. Even as a
Even
short
as
person?
A little person.
I just think they're so...
You look like you're in like a girl group.
I don't think they make... I don't know. I don't like them at all.
Okay.
I'm going to say poop because I don't even believe in a sneaker. Okay. Next. Scoop or poop. Jamie Lynn Spears making a comeback. She's got a TLC show. She's a country music artist. Jamie Lynn.
Is she a good country music artist?
I think she has some nice
Major, voice. Major scoop. One of the best memories I have from Chelsea lately is the day we found out that she was pregnant.
16.
It was like, oh my God. And then we actually shot this thing. Where everybody in the office was going crazy, like, oh, my God! And, like, and you remember Brittany didn't even believe it? Like, someone said it to her, like, your sister's pregnant. It's like, what? I mean,
anyways,
and she was on Zoe
did
101.
Did she have the baby?
Yes,
she's on the
she's
Disney
like
show.
Now.
Yeah,
the kid is like eight.
Maddie.
She got married to somebody else, not the dad.
Yeah.
And she was on this Zoe 101.
On Disney.
She was a really bad actress. She was not good.
Well, obviously, she's
so,
got
I mean, it's amazing.
From...
So she's coming back with what? She's another show?
She's on TLC, and it's a docu-series about her comeback.
I think
to
you
country
have to
music.
Have a
well, I think
to have
it could
comeback.
Be.
Yeah.
I think it's a good comeback because it's like her, and you know they you know those type of things. Are yes, I promise that
Brittany will come
appear
on.
A few times. I mean, remember Living Lohan?
Oh my God!
And then
oh,
like, yeah. But then like, then you know, like all of a sudden Lindsay's like, I'm not doing this, and then like you just hear like Lindsay calling, like, hey, what's up?
I feel like I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Hold on. Can I tell you great Lindsay Lohan scoop? Actually,
yes.
Okay, so Dina Lohan, the mom.
Yes.
She always people always like what did you do, like what's your job, and she always says she was a Radio City Rockette.
She wasn't.
She always says she was a Radio City Rockette, like former Rockette.
Yeah, I feel like they talk about
it
all the time.
Did you do your research and she wasn't?
Well, I was a Radio City Rockette, and there's an archive of every Rockette that's ever been. She's never been a Radio City Rockette. She went to the Radio City Rockettes summer camp when she was a kid.
Oh, God.
That's incredible.
Wait, did nobody ever call her out on it?
Well, who cares enough to do the research other than Chelsea?
Yeah, I guess I don't care.
Investigative report. No, I'm just mad because it's kind of hard to be a Rockette. I'm just saying the auditions are pretty intense.
They are. Yeah.
So you're a dick, Dina, for fake Rocketting. Anyway, okay.
That's kind of the way I'd feel about Groundlings. People, yes. I don't care anymore, but when people say I was a Groundling or I was in Groundlings, and it's like taking one class does not mean you're a Groundling.
Yeah.
And I never even said I'm a Groundling because technically I wasn't. I was in Sunday Show for 2 years. And I would always say that. I was in Sunday Show for 2 years. They usually don't let anyone be in that long, but nobody, all these people wouldn't give up their spots. So there was like a bunch of us, and then they cut a bunch of us. And that was another thing that seemed super devastating that I think like was probably a very good thing for me, because I think I was so happy doing that that I would have been, I would have stayed forever, just like Chelsea lately. Like when Chelsea decided she didn't want to do the show anymore, like I was sad, and there's been ups and downs of the year being like it being over. But at the same time, like today, I'm like, no, that was really good, because I would have stayed forever, and there was nothing more I could do there.
Yeah,
being like a writer,
you would have died
on
Chelsea
panel.
Lately.
Yeah. And then, or would have been like, oh, now you're too old to be on E. We need to, you're just going to go back, be a writer. We can't feature you on TV anymore.
Right.
Like, which I think was starting to happen because I was on it less towards the end. So I was kind of like, but I wouldn't have quit such a fun job.
Right.
So it's like sometimes those things are meant to be.
Yeah. Blessings in disguise.
On that note, scoop or poop, people who do newborn style photo shoots with pets.
Wait, what?
You know how when someone has a new kitty or a puppy and they've been like wrapping them up in swaddling and like, you know, a new mom photo shoot where it's like the little baby?
I think that's scoop.
Yeah,
I think be happy.
That.
Like that's
with
your
pets.
Thing.
With
no,
pets.
But with pets.
I think that's fine. Let them do it.
I
mean,
love
if you're
going
to brag about your kid all the time.
I guess that's
like,
true.
Like why not do, that's funny. Like, I mean, Natasha Leggero did this photo for like one Christmas or something where she put her dog like Jesus and she was Mary.
Amazing.
And like I, and like one time I was Mary and Chewy was Jesus, and like I just, I think that's funny. Like to me, I think it's,
so
I think it's,
I'd rather see your animal
than
like your busted baby.
Yeah.
So scoop, think, Becca?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm totally going to do it when I get a dog.
I think scoop. It's totally
okay,
cute.
Scoop.
Yeah.
Next, scoop or poop, yoga pants every day, all day as daily wear.
I'm going to say poop on that because I think that it starts to sort of change how you live your day.
Ooh,
like I think
deep.
You kind of need to like, you know, I feel like get dressed, put on like, you know, some normal clothes, get out, do a couple things. You'll just like feel more professional, even if you're not.
Okay.
You
so
know?
Poop.
I am a convert. I used to be a scoop and now I'm a poop because I spent too many days in yoga pants and I started feeling bad about myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put on a jean, not even a heel, a jean, denim
a jean
on my body.
Yeah.
And I did kind of feel like I could take on the world. Just in a jean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I just converted right now.
Yeah.
Because I wear yoga pants almost
every
day.
Well, let us know how your transition goes.
I'm wearing a jean right now, so I've converted.
I think it's also a poop. I think that I agree 100% with Juicy Scoop.
Also, can we just talk about, like, how hard it sometimes is to find a yoga pant that,
doesn't eat your vagina.
That doesn't give you camel toe. And I found two. Lululemon, but you have to ask for that. It can't have the split up the crotch.
It can't have the middle seam.
It can't have the middle seam.
No, it has the one seam. Yeah, the patch over it. Camel toe cover.
That's really good. And then I just did Flywheel, and they had some pants that did not give me a camel toe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have a massive vagina, so everything gives me a camel toe, but it's because I have a puffy vagina outer vulva. Okay, anyway. Last scoop or poop. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Ready.
Scoop or poop. Boxer braids.
Boxer braids?
French braids.
The, like, girls that are doing the
tube, that do the outside, like Kim.
Outside. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I went to, like, a braid...
Tell us the thing, Heather.
A braid party or whatever.
What?
And
sounds
they did... Awful. They did, like... Well, it was,
like recently?
It was like somebody's daughter.
Were you at Coachella?
No, there's some, like, braid Instagram, and they're like, they've got a million people come
so
give a braid.
So it's for kids?
No, it's for, like, 20-somethings.
Oh.
And...
What?
You know what? It just, the braid doesn't look very good on me. I think braids have to be for someone really young. I think you got to be. I think you got to be under like 25 to rock a braid.
You can't have braids and Botox.
Yeah,
good one.
Thank you. One or
tweet
the other.
That out.
That's my meme.
I kind of think that's kind of true. Like
it's true.
But none of my friends are doing braids. Like I just don't. So
yeah.
But like on Kim, I think it looks really cute. Like when she and North both do it. I think,
is that cute?
When you have a perfect face, I think you can do these braids. I don't have a perfect face or perfectly shaped
head. You have a good Armenian like hairline as well.
Yeah.
Well, they lasered theirs.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is really smart to do if you're really hairy.
If you're rich and you got lots of time, I guess.
Laser it yeah, all it's off. Very time consuming.
Yes. Jack, boxer braids?
Not on my potato face.
You don't have a potato face.
But I kind of feel the same. Like, I have, like, kind of a rounder, like, not a super chiseled face. And I do feel like...
Could feel a little bit more angular or something.
Yeah. Like, it's... Because it's, like, tight on your face. Like, I need, like, fluffy hair.
I need
like,
my hair
soften
to cover
this
my
shit.
Face.
Yeah.
On that note, Heather's sticking around because she's going to help us answer our oscillating questions. And this woman has lived her life. So she's got some good advice for you in 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, ladies! Get funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
All right, so for this part of our podcast, you're going to help us answer our listeners' questions.
Oh, good.
And give your best advice because you are wise beyond any of our years.
Good.
All right, so before we start, if you guys want to go to jackvanek.com, you can get 20% off your order with code LADYGANG. And I brought you some little presents from my clothing line.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so our first question comes from Leanne, and she says, I met a really cute guy on Tinder a while ago, and we chatted every day for about 3 weeks. We talked about meeting each other multiple times, and everything went really well until one day he just stopped answering. I don't understand how he lost interest in me overnight. Why did everything go from being so awesome to absolute silence?
So first of all, it sounds to me like, again, this was a texting relationship.
Text-only relationship.
And that I talk about on my podcast with the three women dating the same guy, that it was such a heavily text relationship. And I think that's a very hard thing to really understand. I mean, you can read into it. You cannot read into it. The way you build a relationship is really talking in person, preferably, but definitely on the phone. And I know the kids don't know how to talk on the phone anymore. But, like, you've got to start talking on the phone. So I think, forget it. Yeah, he was probably texting with
17 people,
other girls, and he did lose interest. And you just have to let it go. Yeah. He doesn't want to – you're not missing out.
You
never even met him.
Yeah. Leanne, I think – here's the deal. When I was online dating – that you have to online date and then instantly really date.
Yeah.
Like, you can't online date forever. Even if you're texting with someone, like, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, all day long.
Well, that's basically, that's every catfish episode.
It is. Right.
Exactly. It's these long, intense relationships that aren't even talking, like, on Skype. It's not even seeing the person. It's not even talking on the phone.
Well, it's basically like a fantasy relationship. You can pretend that person's the most amazing person in the world, but you don't know them if you're just texting them.
So. Right. Tinder, 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 and then meet. You got to meet within the first week.
Yes.
Find someone you like and get them to go out and meet in person.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't like prolong that or else it gets weird.
Weird.
Okay, so our next question comes from Rachel, and she says, I've been with my boyfriend for over 4 years, and he is a wonderful man, but recently I feel like the spark has kind of faded. I can't tell if that's just him or just a challenge of a long-term relationship. We've talked about sharing a future together, and I can't imagine life without him. How does the Lady Gang recommend keeping the spark ignited for life? Side note, I've tried talking with him about it, and he doesn't think that we have a spark issue, which makes it hard to have him try different things with me.
Now, you just got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you dating before you got engaged?
A year and a half.
Okay. Do you know that that's the perfect amount for success?
Really?
In a marriage?
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I did something right?
They've been doing new studies.
I feel like...
And they say that the marriages last if you date for like a year or so and then get engaged. And... once you get engaged, you got to get married within 2 years of the engagement.
That
don't have this like 5 year engagement.
Yeah.
Don't. And then because what happens when people are together for a long time is the spark does die.
Yeah.
But now they've invested 4 years.
Yeah.
They really shouldn't get married. They get married and then they're divorced in 2 years. And and because it's that age, they think that they should. And they're like, I spent this time and I know this person's a good person, but the spark is gone. And there's like a time limit on like going to the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point because I was going to say the spark always fades. I mean,
it does.
It's like it's the reality of the situation.
I've been married 16 years. It does.
There you go.
But I just had an amazing spike in interest.
How? What'd you do? Did you like take ecstasy one night? Some Molly?
No, I it's a really long story that I'll probably...
You watched porn.
No, I'm going to probably use it in my stand-up for sure. Maybe I'll share it on the podcast. But I search for an old boyfriend that wasn't on social media.
Oh.
And in finding it, it really made me happy. I was with my husband.
Oh. I just listened to this today, your explanation of why you're happy you're with your husband.
Which one was which? Why?
When you were saying, like, because he wanted to be anonymous. He didn't want to be found out.
That your guy wanted, right.
But and your whole stand-up act is your husband.
Exactly. So it would never have worked out. Like, so much, since I've found out more about this person, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can't even imagine what my life would have been like. And there's so much more to the story that mm-hmm. I just can't get into right here because it would take too long. But like the things that I realized, but yeah. And, you know, and my friend that like helped me do the research was just like, oh my God, you are going to do your husband tonight. Like, you know, and all the reasons why I broke up with him back when I was 20. Now I remember, but there was a time where I just, you know, I couldn't find him. And I'm like, if this guy was on Facebook, I would have seen his face. I would have seen something he wrote. I would have been like, duh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but because it was such a mystery, I was like, what is it?
Yeah.
And I think, but I think that's, you know, so there, it's ebbs and flows. You just can't let the ups and the downs. You can't let the down go too long. You can't let it go too long without boning. You can't mm-hmm. let a fight go too long.
Yeah.
Everything, you just can't last too long. Because then it's really hard to get back into a groove.
I think boning is so important, and like not letting it die.
Not letting it die. Yeah, and also,
that's hard.
Also, I think the bet is that you really have to be friends mm-hmm. with your spouse and really have a good, like we have a good friendship and we laugh at the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And like we, you know, like yesterday, like we agreed to have this freaking Cub Scout party. And then all of a sudden, like an hour before the party, my husband starts acting like a dick, you know, because it's like he's stressed out. He's like, ah, okay, you better put this away. And he's like ordering the kids around. And my son's like, I didn't even want this Cub Scout party. Like, I'm like, well, this is what we do. We agree to have a party. Dad's a dick for about an hour and a half. Then he has a drink and we're glad we had the party. But I'm like, why do we agree to have the party so we can fight all day before the party? Like, why are we doing this?
Know,
like, we thought we'd make, no matter how many Costco dishes and how you think it's going to be easy, all of a sudden, everyone is just an asshole before, like, the party comes. And you're like, why did we even agree to do this? Like, so, yeah, there's
so
all that.
I'm so glad you had kids, too, because I feel like that really makes your stand-up. I mean.
Yes, I thank God I can exploit them and use
thank
them.
Thank God, right?
I think, yeah, I think it's true. It's, you know, there's a lot of single lady comedians out there, and, you know, they're all funny, but it's, yeah. What are you doing? How much can you talk about dating? Go.
Last question. All right. Last question comes from Sarah, and she says, I recently moved back to my hometown after college, and one night a couple of weeks ago, I ended up behind an ex-boyfriend at a drive-thru. He messaged me later that day, and a few days later, we met up kind of late at night and ended up hooking up in the back of his car.
Good.
I'm so embarrassed because I've never done anything like that ever, which you shouldn't be embarrassed about.
But wait.
It's not done. Okay. What stood out to me, though, was that he had a condom in his pocket. Should I be offended or flattered that he was pretty sure that something was going to happen between us?
You should be flattered.
You're the queen of the blue ball.
But I listen, if I could go back, I would screw everything. I'm so horny watching The Bachelorette. That was another thing. In watching The Bachelorette and fantasizing about this ex-boyfriend, I don't know, I became like an old dirty man. Like, I'm like an old dirty man. Like, I'm just like, the thing is, I go, I'm not worried if I was to run into this guy that I'd be attracted to him. Because the truth is, I'm not that attracted to, like, guys in their late 40s.
Right.
I'm not. Like, yeah, I'm married to one. Like, I like that one. But, like, if I'm going to, like, screw around, it's going to be,
like, a 22-year-old shirtless male model.
Like 30.
Like Justin
like
Bieber.
Like, 30 and just, yeah. And I, like, watch that show, and it gets so horny
you
off of
do?
It.
You do?
Yes, because it's like every guy is just like when she went around the corner after the pool party and she just did like a toddler jump. Like how I love in The Bachelor how they only pick girls that are small enough to be carried like a toddler.
You know what?
And I mean, I've never been carried like a toddler my whole life.
And I have bashed this franchise for so
Why?
Long.
Why?
No. It kills
best.
Me. But I, you know what? I am now a supporter because they are supporting little people. Because I'm so sick of Hollywood and glorifying the Gigi Hadids who just like won the genetic lottery and they're 6 feet tall. I walk a red carpet. It does not matter who puts me together, who dresses me, what I'm wearing. It doesn't matter. I will never look like Gigi Hadid or be celebrated like her because I'm a foot shorter. So thank you, The Bachelor.
The reason,
thank you.
This is the reason. the Gigi Hadid, and that's all reality show Instagram fame.
It's
the time of our life. I mean, she's beautiful. Her sister's beautiful. Her mom's beautiful. But it is, you know, they're just the it people. I mean, it was Cindy Crawford in my day. It just happens.
Another tall person. But when you see those statuesque, beautiful people.
It's not about tall people. It's about fat people now. It's about being bigger.
It is.
It's about being bigger and embracing your curves and all of that.
Everything. But to take it back to the question, sorry. I feel like this.
The girl screwing?
Yeah. First of all, you have to have a lot of sex before you marry your person because you got to know what you like and what you don't like. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you should feel nice that you're having sex with a responsible person.
Yeah, with a condom.
Like, at least he's not a douchebag that's like.
But it was her ex-boyfriend, so they'd already had sex, right?
It's true.
And if they hadn't, I still think good that you did it.
It's true.
And also, there's something like really sexy about backseat car sex. Like, that's fun and flirty.
It's so grease.
It's so Titanic.
I mean, go for it. I don't understand what the problem is. I mean, I wonder how old he is. I always want to know how old are.
And also, let's all live in the day where we're not going to. Don't worry about your number. I know there's like that whole woman thing of like, what's your number? Is it under 10? Is it under 5? Yeah, you can just lie about it forever.
Totally.
Like, just have sex with people. Learn what you like. Learn what you don't like. And also, I feel like you're young if you're having the sex in the back of a car, not in like someone's house that they own.
Yeah.
And so it's like, just do it and have fun and make your memories.
I do think that if you really do like someone and you think there's potential.
You wait.
I don't care how horny you are. If you could. If you could control your vagina. If you could just wait a date or two.
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely should wait a date or two.
It is in a guy's DNA, even in 2016, that you were a bit of a challenge. And it'll make him like you a little more, and you'll get to know each other. And the tension of knowing, again, with The Bachelorette, the fact that they couldn't kiss doing that yoga thing, and then he couldn't take it anymore, and he kissed her, that got me hot. It's like a tension thing.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's so easy, if you're giving up anal on the first date, where do you go from there, girls?
Where do you go? You know, my rule was always that I didn't have sex with anyone that wasn't my official boyfriend.
I think that's a classy way to be.
Becca's face right now.
I know that's like, doesn't apply anymore.
No,
I get it. But like, first of all, if you meet the one or you think this one could be a potential relationship, not marriage, and you want to wait a little, he doesn't have to know that you screwed two people in one day in Vegas. Why does he have to know that? Like,
no.
He never has
that
to know that.
You never
like,
tell him.
Every day is a new day. Wipe the slate clean behind you.
Wipe your vagina clean.
Create who you are. He doesn't have to know.
Every day is a new day.
Meet a guy and be like, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't. I know you get it right and left. But I got to know you a little bit better. Yeah. And believe me, I'm worth the wait.
I'm pristine.
And get him like super excited. Blue ball, make out with him. I love dry humping. You're never going to dry hump again once
you do it.
When you can feel that penis through the jean.
It is hot.
How it goes up.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can see it. And it's just like pushing up against you at your car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like.
It's a magical
moment.
Why would
you want to just throw that away?
And also, you don't have to worry about the UTI after. You never get a bladder infection from a dry hump.
You never have to tell the guy I have an early morning appointment, but it's really just to go to CVS to get that cream.
Morning after.
The itch cream.
That 10-day, that Monistat 3.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait.
No need to wait for 10 days.
Before we go, I have a great story about this.
So do I.
Okay. I gave. This is. God, I hope no one's listening. Everyone's listening. I had a boyfriend once, and I had a yeast infection, and I had sex with him, and I gave him a yeast infection on his penis. That can happen.
How?
It looks like herpes. He had to come to me, and he was like, who else are you sleeping with? I was like, no one.
No.
And we're like, what are these red bumps?
I can.
And he went to the doctor, and it was a yeast infection on a penis.
I raised that story.
Okay.
I was first dating my fiance. He will die, by the way. I hope he's not listening. I was first dating my fiance. Same situation. And I had the little cream. And I was like, you know what? And then he came into town like unexpectedly. And I was like, I'm going to have sex. Like, what am I going to tell him? My excuse? Sorry, I'm a little yeasty down there. Like, absolutely not. So I was like, I got to fix this.
Bacon bread, only head.
And yeast is too much of fresh dick. Yeah, it's you will not, once you're married, like, you'll never get another yeast in Mexican. In, yeah. It's fresh dick and too much of it.
Yeah,
too
or close new together. Semen, new semen. Anyways, this is getting really disgusting. But do you know, so I'm in the shower and I'm like prepping and I'm like literally just trying to expel the monostat from inside of me. And I look over and you know those squirt bottles that you put up your nose?
Oh my God.
Like a nasal?
Yes. Nasal rinse?
Yeah. You nasal rinsed your vagina?
I did. I used the squirt bottle, filled
like
it up.
Like a douche. That's just like a douche.
Douche. Yeah. Forgot to throw it away, the nasal bottle.
He put it up his nose.
He used it since. And I'm like, that expelled yeast infection cream out of my vagina.
This has been a great episode, Becca. And we're going to end on that because there's nowhere else to go from yeast infection expelledness.
Nope.
Guys, clearly Heather's amazing. And if you need more of her in your life, which we know you do, please download and listen, subscribe to Juicy Scoop. It's also on Podcast One. You can listen on iTunes, Podcast One. Free. Go to her website. Check her out. Find out where she's doing stand-up.
Can I tell
some
dates?
Buy a ticket.
Yes. Okay. So I will be in St. Louis. Thursday, June 23rd through the 25th. I'll be in Lake Tahoe at the Loft Theater on July 3rd. I'm going to be at Sally Tomatoes in Sonoma.
Yeah, get your life.
July 29th. I'm going to – I have lots of dates. It's all heathermcdonald.net. I'm booking up like all through the end of the year. So check it out. Make a note that I'm coming to your city. Please come and enjoy yourself.
And also make sure to follow her on social media at Heather McDonald.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Also, guys, follow us too at The Lady Gang, at It's Becca Tobin, at Jack Vanek, at Kelty Knight. Submit your Ask the Lady Gang questions on our website, theladygang.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. And we love you so much. We will see you next Tuesday. Yay! Woo!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com. Thanks for listening.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.